Hello, this is Paul Scharf again for Whitcomb Ministries. I'm here with Dr. John Whitcomb at his desk in his home office. And we're so glad that you're listening today through sermonaudio.com. In fact, Dr. Whitcomb, because of technology that has advanced so rapidly in the last few years, it's amazing that anyone really has the capability to do what we're doing at Whitcomb Ministries through the wonderful ministry of sermonaudio.com. We can literally say we're broadcasting internationally over the internet. And that, of course, is to the credit here as well of, as I said, sermonaudio.com, where you're hearing this message. We're so thankful to be able to partner with them. In fact, Dr. Whitcomb, we've been on sermonaudio.com for nearly 3 years now, having begun this project in July of 2003, actually getting on the pages there at that time. And through sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb, we're very pleased and humbled to say that the Lord has recently allowed us to pass another major milestone, 60,000 sermons listened to. In fact, we have the current stats up here on the screen before us as we're looking at them. And as of this morning, we've had just over 63,000 sermons downloaded or listened to on sermonaudio.com in these 3 years. The rate is growing very quickly, as well as just the number, but the rate at which people are listening. I'll say more about that in a moment, but I guess what first of all is your reaction to the response we have seen as we have broadcast now for these almost 3 years, getting the word out in a most simple way of doing it, an economic way of doing it here over Sermon Audio, and yet seeing these kind of results. How does that strike you?
Of course, we face enormous opposition, as God told us we would. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. That doesn't mean, dear friends, be careful here that we're to be hateful, obnoxious. We are to be faithful to what God has said. And Satan is full-time in opposition to everything God has ever said or ever done or ever will do. That is why we have to dedicate ourselves afresh, day by day, to communicating to people all over the world, in whatever language, the whole, entire, complete counsel of God. Not just little snippets here or there or portions of the Bible, but the whole Bible. Just as Jesus gave the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28, He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, here's an impossible assignment. But Jesus Christ said, trust me, disciples, people who believe in me, I'm with you. Yes, to the end of the age, I will watch over you, I will protect you, I will accomplish through your feeble efforts anything that honors my name and my wonderful word. So the Apostle Paul implements that great commission, doesn't he? Over to 2 Timothy 1, the last letter he ever wrote to his most faithful disciple, Timothy. He said, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And so he gave to Timothy a guideline on how to make these precious, fragile, delicate, divine truths available to everyone everywhere on this earth. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now notice the power that's necessary here. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, what do we need to be strong about? What do we need strength for? Listen carefully. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these, not just an irreducible minimum, not just the most popular understandable truths, but these things which you have been taught, all these things entrust to whom? faithful men. What's a faithful person? One who will be able to teach others also. In other words, what we have is a chain reaction, beginning with Jesus Christ, through Paul, through me, through you, friend, and to the ends of the earth. And I say, Lord, thank you for that guideline as we puncture the darkness with divine light, as we penetrate the silence concerning the things of God with the words that God has entrusted to us. And so our attempt through the years, friends, thank you so much for your response, for your interest, for tuning in, for telling others. Our goal through the years has been to take perhaps the more difficult areas of revealed truth in the Bible, such as how the world was created, how the flood transformed this world in the days of Noah, how the Tower of Babel created the multiplicity of language groups and racial types all over this planet today, the complexities of Old Testament history, how Israel came into existence, the vast differences between Israel and the church, as well, of course, as fundamental similarities, how the church age is going to end with the glorious rapture of the church, the disappearance of millions, and those left behind entering the horrors of the Great Tribulation, characterized, of course, by the dominion of the Antichrist under Satan. How that period of 7 short years, incomparably horrible, as Jesus said, a tribulation such as never was, known, or ever shall be, will end with a glorious second coming of Christ, where all military opposition to him will be crushed at Armageddon, and the inauguration of his glorious 1,000-year kingdom, where the nation of Israel will be restored to her original intended position as being priests under God and teachers of the nations, beginning in Jerusalem, yes, and to the ends of the world. Beyond that, of course, the 1,000-year kingdom, heaven and hell forever and ever. We want, friends, people to understand how to not only understand the Bible, but also to defend the Bible. We don't defend it by rationalistic arguments, however brilliant, by just simply turning the light on and letting people read it for themselves. People aren't interested in what I believe. They want to know what God said. And that is a fundamental reality of biblical truth, to make God's word known. Yes, to glorify and sanctify Jesus Christ and then be ready to give an answer to every man who asks us a reason of the hope that's in us. That is God's apologetic. That's his way to help people believe, understand, live in the light of, and share the truth of God's word everywhere. And then how to protect this truth that's been entrusted to us. You remember what Paul said to Timothy, retain the standard of sound words, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you, so that God's word will not be compromised or corrupted, but will be clearly and fully presented and taught and explained so that people can walk in the light and not just mere human opinions. These are areas, friends, that are very difficult for most Christians to enter into meaningfully and consistently and in depth. And I appreciate your prayers for me that I might be faithful in dealing with issues that are most needful in a day like this, where, of course, as the darkness deepens, those who understand the truth become more conspicuous, the light shining in a dark place, as it were. And my prayer, friends, is that we may continue until Jesus comes, making known the truths that he has entrusted to us, that we may guard them, that we may understand them better, and make them known, yes, to the ends of the world.
Dr. Whitcomb, I just want to throw out a few statistics here. We're looking on the screen at the monthly download report that all broadcasters on Sermon Audio receive. And you look at this every month, and I know take joy in seeing some of the reports. And just looking here at the last full month at this time was February of 2006. There were 3,158 sermons downloaded or listened to in February. If my math is correct, Dr. Whitcomb, that figures out to about 112 sermons every day. That's once every 13 minutes. someone around the world somewhere was downloading or listening to a sermon here, a message, a lecture, a radio rebroadcast, something on sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb here. And that means since most of our messages here, almost all of them, are longer than 13 minutes, that means on average that somewhere around the world one of your messages or one of the messages on your pages was playing at all times through the month of February. We look here through some of the places in the world where people are listening to these, and we get a breakdown through a general area, not only the states, the United States, but we see here the leading international area being Sweden, 211 downloads, United Kingdom, 149, Indonesia, 138, Brazil, 132, and on it goes. What is your reaction to that, and what do you say to those people who are listening out there? And some of them, even though you've been teaching God's Word for many years, some of them may be just now really becoming interested in Whitcomb Ministries. What's your reaction to all that?
This is very humbling indeed, dear friend, to realize that God could take the feeble, inadequate understanding of the one who is speaking to you at this moment and magnify it and multiply it to His glory. And all of us are feeble and relatively ignorant of what we should be doing and should be knowing and understanding. But God is interested, friends, not in who is the most brilliant, but who is faithful and who is willing to ask God for special help and direction. Now, as I look at these countries, many of them I have personally visited and ministered through the years. In Sweden, the United Kingdom, Singapore, Australia, Canada, Germany, and I just say, well, thank you, Lord. Taiwan, India, Spain, Malaysia. And I say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, as it were, to follow through with words from your book to those with whom you have given me opportunity to share in the many, many years gone by of world travel and communicating the precious truths of God.
Dr. Whitcomb, there may be a whole variety of people that listen to sermonaudio.com and particularly your pages there. There may be other theologians who just stay up to date, longtime friends of yours, pastors. There may be students, as you have opportunity to travel and speak in many different schools. We, for instance, are glad to have all of your lectures that you regularly give at the Word of Life Bible Institutes on the book of Genesis. They're all available here on your pages on Sermon Audio. Students can even utilize those if they so choose and have opportunity. It's just incredible what God has allowed us to begin to compile here. And it's certainly a record of your ministry and of Whitcomb Ministries, and a blessing to many people, I trust and I hope. And I guess there's maybe one other group out there that we need to address today as we bring this short talk to a close. There may be groups of people out there who not only know nothing of you personally, but they really may not even know the Lord. But perhaps they're searching, perhaps they're intrigued by questions about creationism or Bible prophecy. Who knows where they may be listening to this message, but they may hear it through the wonders of the technology of the Internet. And you have the opportunity, Dr. Whitcomb, to speak just to them. I wonder if you'd close this message by doing so and sharing with them the ultimate sermon that we want to bring across, of course, here on Sermon Audio, the gospel, and how it can affect their life.
God so loved the world, dear friend, that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, the second person of the triune Godhead. 2,000 years ago, that second person of the Godhead became a human being. He added a human nature to His divine nature in order to die upon a cross between two thieves outside the walls of Jerusalem as the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty you, friend, could never pay, nor could I pay. I was an unbeliever for 18 years until God got my attention as an evolutionist at Princeton University in 1943, And that night when I heard the gospel clearly explained, the gospel is what? The good news of salvation, that although we can't save ourselves, God has made provision to save us. That if we accept His gift, we have right now, not someday perhaps, but certainly right now, the gift of everlasting life, of forgiven sin, of the indwelling Holy Spirit, of the Word of God illumined to us, explained to us by the Spirit of God who authored it. And that night, it didn't take months, it took a moment, where in my heart of hearts I said to Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, I don't know much about You, but I believe that You are indeed what You claim to be, the Savior of the world and my personal Savior. And that night I passed from spiritual darkness to spiritual light, from spiritual death to spiritual life. And friend, every one of us has to have a BC, AD division in our lives. Before Christ and the year of the Lord, Anno Domini. Do you know Him? Have you passed from death to life? Do you have the assurance of everlasting life? Do you know that Jesus Christ not only died for you on that cross, but confirmed it in a spectacular, permanent way by His bodily resurrection from the dead? And friend, He's coming soon. He said He would. He doesn't lie to people. He doesn't deceive people. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Trust in Jesus as your Savior, and enter now into the marvelous provision He's made for those who believe in Him.